So first of all, my name is Marilyn Vaughn. I'm a counselor with Fieldstone. And this is the workshop on loss of a child and filling in that hole. And so I'd just like to open with a word of prayer, please, so if you would pray it with me. Father, I just thank you for this time. I thank you for the people who are here. And I thank you for your presence with us, Lord. This is such a hard topic. And so, Lord, give us your grace. And Lord, it's been a rough couple of days, so I just ask that you would help me to focus, help me to be clear in what I say, and may what I say be useful to the people who are here and glorifying to you. In your name we pray, amen. Okay, so I have this kind of broken up in part talking and part activity. So we're going to start with the talking and then move into the activity. So first off, following your outline, there's outlines right here. There's plenty of them. The first thing to do is just acknowledge that you've had a loss, and that loss was important to you, and that it was very, very painful. And I think the loss of a child is probably one of the hardest losses that you could ever go through. For some reason, God allowed this to happen. God does not cause death, but God allows death. And a lot of that happens because we do live in a fallen world. Good morning. So, and when we have a loss, it just leaves this big old hole inside of us. Some of you may have experienced some other losses before you lost a child, and I'm assuming that you've lost a child or maybe a grandchild, and that's why you're in here. Okay. I remember my first significant loss, and it just rocked my world. Completely unexpected, and I just didn't know what to do with all the things that I was feeling. I just knew that I hurt deeply. I lost my dad when I was about, 35. Totally unexpected. And I was completely stunned by just how painful that was. I knew it would be hard, but I just wasn't expecting it when it was. It was completely unexpected. And so there are some things in processing this grief that you need to think about. And one of them is the age of your child. And I'm not going to ask you to raise hands. I'm just going to keep on going. Is that okay with everybody? Because you all have different losses in here. So, sorry, I need to sit down here for a little bit. I apologize. It makes a difference if you lost your child to a miscarriage, to a stillbirth, or to SIDS, because usually SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome, occurs relatively shortly after the child is born, usually within the first couple of weeks. And there's no explanation for it. There are times with a miscarriage they can come up with an explanation for it, but not all the time. Sometimes it just wasn't a viable pregnancy. And so there's the loss of those dreams for this person you never had a chance to meet. That child has gone on to heaven, and you never had a chance to even meet them. You may have met them if they were stillborn. They may have given you an opportunity. But with a lot of miscarriages, the child is just gone. And they were loved by you, but you didn't have a chance to know them. Losing a child in like early years up through middle grade school years, you have some memories with them. You have a lot of hopes and dreams for them. You've had a lot of fun with them. And so it's loss of who they were, but also loss of those dreams and hopes that you had for them. When they're teenagers into young adults, you're thinking about launching them, graduations, marriages, buying their first home, all that other cool stuff. And so when you lose them, once again, loss of dreams and hopes, but also their companionship. They may have been a great friend. You may have had a lot of fun with them. And even losing a child further on into adult years. It's the loss of that relationship, but sometimes also the loss of the person you thought would be with you as you finish your days. Someone who would be with you as you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And they're not there anymore. You have the comfort of the memories with them, but you're still feeling this overwhelming sense of loss. I'm just going to be honest with you. This is really hard for me. We almost lost our oldest daughter February 11th, which was not that long ago. And so writing this out and talking to you about about it with you is really, really difficult. And we didn't even know she was in danger till it was over. She had severe postpartum complications, and she almost died before we, I mean, we're still bubbling over with our new grandchild, not knowing that our daughter is in the process of dying, and thankfully, by God's grace, she did not. But we knew that that was a possibility, a very, very real possibility. So I'm struggling here a little bit, and I apologize, but I'm still going to do my best. Okay, sometimes it makes a difference how your child died. Some of them seem more logical, for lack of a better word. If your child's been really sick, sometimes there's even some relief because you know they're not in pain anymore. They're in heaven with the Lord. And those days of pain and medical procedures and all those things are over. If your child had severe mental or physical disabilities and they were struggling through life, sometimes there's some relief there too. You miss them, but you know they are whole. They are completely healed because they're in heaven with the Lord. If your child had a short illness or died from an accident or most difficultly died from suicide, those are a lot harder to deal with because they came fast with some of the accidents and illnesses. It can be over in a moment. And suicide is hard because you know they chose to not be here anymore. For whatever reason they chose. And so it really leaves a lot of feelings hanging there. That's really difficult to know what to do with. I think that's true of suicide, anyone that you lose through suicide. Because there's so many feelings like, well, you know, all those what ifs and all those different sorts of things. Another really important factor is, what was your relationship with this child? Obviously, if there is stillborn or a miscarriage, you didn't have that chance yet. But you may have had just a super great relationship. You may have had so much fun together. And so you're going to miss that friend. You're going to miss that companion. The person that you used to do crafts with or build something or go fishing or whatever. If they're a little bit older, once again, you may still miss that companionship, regardless of how they died. Okay, I just need a moment. Lord, I'm just really struggling here, and you know that. This is no surprise to you. Lord, I ask for your strength because I truly need it. So Lord, I commit my thoughts to you and just ask that you would help me do this. You have given me the words to say. So please help me to do this, and may they bring comfort to the people who are here. In your name I pray, amen. Okay, some other things you have to deal with is responsive of other family members and friends. When you're the parent and a child dies and you have other children, you're not only taking care of yourself, you're taking care of them. Because they don't know what to do either. A book I'm going to recommend, I think the little girl is like 6 when she passed away, but she had older siblings and younger siblings. Well, they're in shock too. They're like, what do we do with this? How can God have taken our sister? And so there's helping them through that. Sometimes it's completely devastating to other grandparents and other family members. And they're going to be looking to you to help them. But in actuality, you kind of need help from them, not just giving help to them. So it can be really, really difficult to walk your way through that process. And then part of it just depends on where was your faith at the time you lost your child. There may be some people in here that didn't have a faith at the time they lost their child. You may not have been walking with the Lord. You may not have been saved. Or maybe you were saved, but it was a little bit distant. It wasn't top on your priority list. Prayed before meals, attended church, or maybe you didn't. But God didn't feel like he was walking side by side with you. And so you're not going to feel, usually, the presence of the Lord as close because you haven't been as close with him. Even if you've had a very close relationship, there is a tendency to feel like God has abandoned you because he allowed your child to die. This child he gave you, why would he take your child away? And yet God, in his wisdom and mercy and goodness, allowed this to happen. The next thing you have to think about is, what was your response when this child died? And you know, there's a lot of things that could happen. Some people are just they're numb. They're in shock. It was totally unexpected. And they're just like, how did that happen? Just this morning, just yesterday. And now they're gone? How can that be? Some people are instantly angry. They are so furious. And sometimes they don't have a pinpoint or a focus for their anger. They just know they're filled with rage on the inside. They just feel like punching someone, something. We went to Columbus when my dad died, and so I thought, okay, we better swing. We have four kids. They were little. We better swing through McDonald's and get them something to eat before we end up at my mom's and the calling hours, all that stuff. We're walking in, and someone looks at my kids like my dad would have, and I'm going to tell you, I had this overwhelming desire to just slam my fist in his face. And I remember thinking, how dare you? How dare you look at my children when my dad never will again? And I know people struggle with looking at other children after they've lost a child. How are you still alive? My child is not here. And with parents, like, you have no idea. You still have your child. Mine's in heaven. And sometimes they don't even think about it, my child's in heaven. They think, my child is gone. And you still have yours. Where's the fairness in that? Some people really struggle being around people who are pregnant and have newborns when they've lost a child through miscarriage, and sometimes lost several children through miscarriages. That does happen to some people, as you all know. It's just really difficult. They get an invitation to a baby shower, and they're, uh-uh. They get an invitation to a dedication, uh-uh. That's even hard being at family celebrations when one of your siblings or cousins or whoever has had another child. It just makes it really difficult on you, because it's like right in your face, you have what God allowed to be taken from me. And you know, it's really hard to deal with other people sometimes. Have you ever noticed that? Sometimes they say things and you're like, thanks? I mean, people try so hard sometimes to be comforting, and they say the absolute wrong thing. Oh, they're better off now. And you're like, oh, well, good. But I'm not. I'm hurting. And I think part of that is because we really don't know how to grieve together. It's a skill, a gift that in our culture is primarily lost. And it's really difficult. People try, but they just don't know how to. And you know, it may seem ridiculous in a way, but there's a lot of just practical stuff you got to do. There may be medical bills to sort through afterwards. There may be choosing a burial plot, choosing the casket. What are they going to wear? How are you going to do the service? What about the calling hours? Are you going to have something? Are you not going to have something? Private family burial or just private family interment? What are you going to do? And usually there's like 500 questions to be answered, and you have the brain power for zero, or maybe one or two, and yet it has to be done. Hopefully you'll have someone that walked alongside of you to help you with all that stuff that just had to be done, because it's overwhelming. It's just, there's just so much to do with all of it. This is one thing as time went by. Have you ever noticed that people are so attentive in the first few days or week, and then it's like the whole world kept on going and you're stuck in that moment? It's sort of like, it's like an out-of-body experience in some ways. You look at things going on, you're like, I just don't get that. Because you're still where you were. It's interesting because in our society, we live in what I call an instant society. We just expect things to happen so fast. Grieving is not a fast thing. But I think some people who have not experienced grief don't understand that. They don't understand that the pain keeps on going after the funeral's over. You had the funeral, you may have had the funeral meal, and they go home and they pick up the rest of their lives. They may have even had something they had to do later that day, take their kids to soccer or whatever, and you are in a pit of pain. You are overwhelmed, you are numb. To be perfectly honest, you're exhausted. You are just flat out exhausted. But other people don't always understand that. I think sometimes we have to give them a little grace. Like I said, my dad died before that. One of my very good friends here at church, her mom passed away. And I thought I was pretty understanding. And then when my dad died, I realized I didn't have a clue. I really didn't understand it all. And so sometimes you have to walk a path before you're able to understand a path. Moving forward. That's a toughie. Moving forward does not mean forgetting. A lot of times when people talk about moving on, or moving on doesn't mean forgetting, they think about, okay, next thing, right? You start kindergarten, first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. You move on to middle school, high school, and then you move on, graduation, off to college, work, military, whatever you choose to do. And you really have a tendency to forget all that other stuff, pretty much. You're really involved in some things in high school especially, and then those days are done, so you're done with them. You know, you look back on them fondly or with nostalgia, but you're done with them. With moving forward, that means you're accepting what was. You haven't dismissed it, but you're moving into the next phase while still remembering what had happened in the phase that you had been in. Does that make sense to you? Okay, so sometimes, I'm sure most of you have heard of Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. She did all this. She's probably the best known person as far as studying grief and death and dying. And so she has five stages. First one is bargaining, when you are bargaining, the period before death. You're bargaining with God, save my child. The next one is denial. This can't be happening to me. Not happening, not doing it. After that, anger. You're so filled with rage because your child has died. Then sometimes you move into depression, which I think the depression often is very deep sorrow. We don't like that word in our society today. You're never supposed to be sorrowful or sad, but sometimes you are. And sorrow is different from sadness because sorrow goes deeper. Sadness is almost often momentary things. Oh, I went to the store to pick that up. I'm so sad they ran out. You know, I went to buy concert tickets and they were all sold. That's sadness. You're disappointed. Sorrow goes right to the core of your being. You feel it all through your body. You feel it all through your mind and your soul. And then acceptance. There's a void there, but I can't do anything about it, so I'm just going to have to accept it and move on. But there's a better way. So I found this little book, and I gave you a reference on the back of your handout. To be perfectly honest, folks, there's a ton of stuff out there that you can read, and some of it's helpful and some of it's not. But I was reading this one, and I found it to be really, really helpful because it's so practical, it's so God-filled, and it's just really clear, okay? And so we're going to go through the steps that she puts in the book. And then we have an activity to do. I'm sorry, I wrote out my timing. I'm not sure what's my timing because I was just having a hard time settling in here. And I, once again, for that, I do apologize. Okay, acceptance. Acceptance is not accepting the loss of your child. Accepting is my life has changed and my child will not be with us again. My life is different now. I'm not forgetting my child. And it's important to not forget your child. They will always be part of your family. But it's like, my life is different now. I have these children here, or maybe not any children, and I have a child in heaven. And it's always going to be that way till I'm in heaven with them. Okay? And it really helps moving through the acceptance process if, one, you accept the reality of the child's death. They are gone. Gone from here. Two, you stop wishing for what was. You look back on those memories fondly, and you wish you could have them back again. Three, you agree to let your life continue. you agree to continue living, and four, you take care of your, you take control of your life rather than letting the grief take control of you. And there's a really big difference. If the grief is running your life, then you're not. And you're not able to function the way God intended you to function with the other things in your life. So the next thing is praying for and accepting God's will. Have you ever prayed or heard people say at the end of the prayer, not my will, but yours be done? How many people really, really mean that in the core of their souls? It sounds really good, doesn't it? And yet, praying for God's will and saying that you want it means that you will accept it, whatever it is. Even if it's not what you desire. Even if God's answer is not the answer that you were looking for. But there's three things to remember in God's will. God's ultimate plan will never be defeated. God's plan will always occur, whatever it is. The next one, good can come from tragedy. When I was thinking about this one, I'm sure most of you have heard of Jim Elliot, the missionary that was killed. But think about all the influence, because of his death, his wife has had to influence millions of believers, which she probably would not have had without his sacrifice first. I can't imagine that people would have recognized her, because a lot of how she started getting recognized was telling his story and how he gave up his life for the Lord. And then the last part is that God does understand and he empathizes with our suffering. I think no one understands suffering like God does. Think of all the times, and we're not yet to Christ, but think of all the times that God suffered. Can you imagine how he felt when Adam and Eve broke his holy law and ate the fruit from the tree? Or when time after time he rescued his Israelites and they still turned away from him. When Christ saw his friend Lazarus who had died, the scripture says he wept. He was sad for his friend. And then he called him back to life. God can always do that. It's just that does not usually happen. Okay? All right. So healing. Healing is a choice of your mind. This is curious. I found this very curious. God has set up our bodies to work in a very unique way. We get a cut, and it automatically, we don't even have to think about it, our bodies automatically rush to the rescue. That's the way God designed them. But our minds and our emotions don't work the same way. We do not have an emergency rescue plan when it comes to our minds and emotions. And so we have to choose to let God heal us. Some people choose quicker, and some people never choose. And so they stay stuck in that place in the middle of their grief. But if you choose to allow God to heal your heart and your emotions, he will, because God is faithful. What he has said he will do, he will do. And if you ask him to heal your heart and your emotions, he will do that. The next one is learning to cope. Life will never be the same again. Your life has changed. Like we said at the beginning of the thing, there's a big hole there. There are some medications that can be useful if you're really struggling. I look at it as the good and the bad news. If you're really having a very difficult time, I'm non-techie. If you're having a very difficult time sleeping, a mild medication to help you get some rest so that you can make the decisions and do the things you need to do can be very useful. Sometimes people will take a mild medication to elevate their depression, but you need to be careful not to get stuck on that, because you're sort of numbing your emotions rather than working through your emotions to healing. It's really at best a temporary fix. Some people become very dependent on it because they choose to. So it's very important that if that's the route you choose to go, you have some real serious conversations with your doctor and really have some serious conversations. What can this do? What's it useful for? And when do I need to not be using this anymore? But I don't think you should feel guilty if you need a little bit of help because you're flat out exhausted to get a little sleep so that you're better able to cope with the things that you need to cope with. But it's not a substitute for working through your emotions. The next one is husbands and wives need to pull together. Statistically, a lot of couples who've lost a child will separate or divorce. That's very high. And some that stay together, they don't stay united. They're not on the same page. One may blame the other because their child died. So why did you let him ride his scooter? Were you watching him when he rode his scooter? Did you know he could go out in the street? This is all your fault? That sort of thing. If you'd taken better care of them, if you called the doctor sooner, you can't blame each other. You just have to say, together we are in the midst of this grief and we need to deal with it together. And I think another super important thing is your community. I often ask people that I'm counseling, who's on your team? Who's on your side? Who are your prayer warriors? Y'all know what a prayer warrior is, right? This is your go-to person when you really need somebody to pray about it. I had a wonderful aunt. She was my favorite. I was also top of her list. But she lived to be 100. She was totally bedridden the last 2 years. But if you need something prayed about, you called Aunt Phoebe because she's on it. She never was never out. She couldn't leave her home. So she had a lot of time to pray, and she did. She was a faithful sister in Christ. And if you needed some prayer, she was on it. You need people to be on your team to pray for you that you can text and call and say, I'm really struggling today. Today is so hard for me. Would you please just be praying for me? Or this just happened and it brought it all back. We just got another bill from some medical person. I don't even know who they are. And I'm suddenly like, who is this person? But apparently they treated your child at some point in time in that last process, and it brought everything back. Would you please pray for me that God would give me the comfort that I need today, that God would give me the strength that I need today, that God would help me do whatever it is that I need to do. Okay, it's activity time. So you need to be somewhere close to a basket. And kudos to my husband, he cut all these out for me. I'm going to pick a pink heart. Go ahead, I'm going to borrow your scissors. You may have a pink or a blue one, depending on if you had a boy or a girl. Or you can just pick a random heart, I don't care. This is what I want you to do. I'm choosing pink because we almost lost our daughter. And my heart just goes still every time I even think about it. So in my little pink heart for my daughter, Amy, I'm going to cut a semicircle, which of course is going to give, I'm cutting it off old, folks. Sorry, I used to teach sewing. You're not supposed to cut the fold, but anyway, put this on the fold. And you know, when you open it up, oh, that's kind of bad, but anyway, there's a hole. I want you to take this little hole, oh, my hole turned out to be a heart anyway, I want you to write, this is going to be tiny, some of the things you miss about that child you lost. If you lost your child through a miscarriage or a stillbirth, what are the things that you were hoping for that you're missing? So would you just take a few minutes and cut out your hearts? You can put your child's name on the heart and then fill in the circle the things that you're missing, okay? I'll give you just a couple minutes to do that, then I'll tell you about the next step. So I named my heart. It's Amy. This is our daughter. We chose her name because it means beloved, and we knew that she would be. And so I just wrote down a few things if we had lost her that I would miss. Her humor. She's really funny. She's really funny. Her companionship, because we've had a lot of fun. She's 44, so, you know, we've had a lot of time to be together. She's kind. She's really smart. She is so good at her job and some of the other things that she does. And she's very crafty. I'm not crafty. I'm skilled in fabric arts, but I'm not crafty. But she can take almost anything and turn it into anything. And I talked to her a lot of days. And I would have missed those almost daily phone calls. It wasn't usually anything serious, just like, hey, what you doing? I'm driving home, blah, 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 blah. But I would miss that companionship and that closeness. So there's only one thing that can really fill your heart, and that's Christ. So you're going to find in your baskets, hope this will work the way I planned it. We did practice yesterday. You're going to find little printed signs. Mine almost fits. And you're going to find some tape. And the only thing that can really fill your heart on the loss of your child is Christ. And I looked through a lot of scriptures, and on the bottom of your handout, you're going to find that there are a number of scriptures that I thought might be helpful listed. And so when I started thinking and praying about it, they all circle back to the fruit of the Spirit, which Christ gives to all of us. It's very interesting that the fruit of the Spirit is a whole gift. It's not the fruits, plural, of the Spirit. It's the fruit, but it has components, just like a tangerine or an orange has sections. The fruit of the Spirit has components. When you think about losing your child, we need God's love to care for us and to fill us. We need a lot of reassurance that we are still beloved of God, because we are. We need our joy back. Now, joy is not happiness. Happiness is bubbles, like when kids take those big wands and they swirl them around and the bubbles go everywhere. That's kind of how I view happiness. But joy is something that is deep inside of you that helps you know your world's going to be okay because Christ is in it. He's in it and he's ruling it. Peace, oh my goodness. That's hard to find sometimes, isn't it? Because I sort of equate in some ways peace with rest. And when your heart is so torn apart, that rest is really difficult to find. It's so hard to just really be able to genuinely sleep and wake up feeling refreshed, because the pain is still there when you wake up. Sometimes people say, you know, I dread going to sleep because I know when I wake up, the pain will still be there and it will still really hurt. When I lost my dad, which I know is not a child, but when I lost him for several months after he died, I thought I was having a nightmare. I would dream that he had died, and I would wake up and go, oh, just a dream. And they're like, oh, but it wasn't a dream. It was reality. And some of you may have experienced something similar to that. Patience. You know what, folks? We need patience with ourselves. We need to give ourselves some patience to go through the process. You can't heal if you bypass the process. You may look like you've healed, you may be acting on the surface like you healed, but your heart is not healed until you go through the healing, grieving process and you allow God to heal your heart. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. A lot of this is how we deal with the people around us and how they're responding and the things that they do. God will give us everything that we need. It may not come on the day that we want it because we're not ready for it. God knows we have some more to do before we're ready to reach that place. Not out of meanness, but out of his understanding of what we need to do to reach genuine peace and security and hope in him. And there's always hope. There's always, always hope. I was just thinking about this. One of my favorite psalms is Psalm 34. And one of the verses in Psalm 34 is verse 18. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. And I do think losing someone you love, especially your child, really crushes your spirit. Now, like I said before, our daughter did recover. My husband and I were talking about this as I was, you know, getting ready to come and talk to y'all. And he said, well, I don't think we really know that many people. And then I started listing off all the people that we know. Our daughter, who just had the baby, also had a miscarriage like a year and a half ago. So we have a grandchild in heaven we've not yet met, but will someday. But when we started thinking about it, and if you start thinking about it, you're going to realize you probably know more people than you realize you know. We've lost family and friends, several miscarriages, at least two stillbirths went full term, and then the child did not survive, was not born alive. We've known children through accidents and illnesses that have died as children, teenagers, young adults. My dear Aunt Phoebe that I mentioned before lost her son in his 50s to cancer, and they even had the service on Mother's Day. I can't even imagine what that must have felt like. But you know what? She was so happy. You know why she was happy? Because this son, her only son, had walked away from God, and he really, by his life, you knew he had the choices that he was making, and yet, in his adult life, he had come back to Christ. He had fully accepted Christ. And she's like, you know what? He's not suffering anymore. I'm going to see him again. It's just a temporary goodbye. But that's really hard for our kids. And I have to tell you, she's much older and wiser than I think I'll ever be with that kind of understanding. But she had that God-given grace and understanding that she had that assurance. And she had lived enough life to know God is faithful, God is true, what he says he will do. God says he will be our comfort, and he will. We need to ask him for that comfort. The last thing that I really thought about, and I am purposefully leaving just a few minutes here at the end. Can you think about this? And this is so appropriate because this is the season of Lent. We're thinking and praying towards Easter. We're reminded of Christ's sacrifice. Can you even begin to imagine what God must have felt when Christ was on the cross? God turned his back to his own son. He not only allowed him to die, he could have stopped it. When people we love die, we can't stop it. It's totally beyond our power. But when Christ was on the cross, God could have stopped it. He could have said, uh-uh. That's a little casual for God, but he could have said no. And we all know why he didn't say no. Because if God had said no, I will not let my son die, none of us would be here today. We may be alive today, but none of us would be walking with Christ. There would not have been that ultimate sacrifice, which was necessary for our salvation so that we might live forever. But really, as a father or as a parent who had the power to stop that, and we focus so much on how Christ felt the betrayal and the withdrawal of the Father. But doing this, I started thinking about how hard that must have been for the Father to do what he knew was the right thing to do. Because even though we weren't even thought of, he died for us. He allowed his son. He chose for his son when he could have changed it to die for us. If he can do that, he can understand anything you're going through. Because he's been there. He knows that feeling. He knows the sadness, the sorrow, the pain. He knows all of it. The anger, the disappointment. And he is right there with you. You may not always feel or hear his voice. I personally have never heard an audible voice of God. I know some people have. I've not. But I felt his presence. And I know that he's there. Besides that, his word says he is there. He's here now because his word says where two or more are gathered, he is there also. But he's also here inside of each one of us. And so we have just 5 minutes left, I think. Maybe a couple more than that. Can I ask you to be very bold and just tell everybody the name of your child, or if you lost your child before it had a name? Because I want us to each take just a few minutes praying for each other. You don't have to, please. There's no pressure. But if you feel willing, do you mind? As we were talking about this, we realized, because you don't always connect all the dots. But of our four children, we've almost lost all of them at least once. And I was just like, oh, wow. You know, you're aware of it at the time, but then it goes on through a whole variety of circumstances. And so what I would just like you to, if you would, just take a few minutes and pray for people that either you know for yourselves that God would give them comfort and peace. And then I'm going to wrap it up in just a couple minutes, if that's okay with you. Okay? So let's just take a moment of silent prayer and pray for the people that are here and other people that you know. Lord, I do thank you for your mercy and your compassion. Lord, I thank you that you know what's on our hearts. Lord, you know things we don't even know. Lord, I thank you that you intercede for us when we're hurting so badly that we can't even pray for ourselves. And Lord, I just want to commit each one here that has had a loss, that you would comfort them, give them your peace. And Lord, I'm going to ask you that for the people here who are preparing to walk better beside those who experience a loss, that you would help them to see everything that they need to see, and that as a situation may arise, that you would give them whatever they need at that time. In your name we pray, Lord. Amen.